Okay, so in Perkin and Torah, we're up to Derech number 40. Perk Vav, the Perk Vav is Brisa Vav. So number 40 really relates to number 39. To number 39, we said at the end yesterday, Mamido ala Emes. This one is Mamido ala Shalom. Mamido ala Shalom. And that's bring somebody else to peace. Mamido ala Shalom. Very often, Emes and Shalom are conflicts. They, you know, you want to be truthful, but at the same time, sometimes being truthful can hurt a person, and you want to keep shalom. You know, and you have to figure out. We know that sometimes mishanim shalom. Sometimes you can alter the truth for the sake of keeping peace. For example, we find in the Chumash that Kodesh Baruch Hu himself, when reporting what Sarah had said, when she couldn't believe she was going to become pregnant and have a child. So she said, how can I have a child at this age, and so on. And my husband's an old man. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told it over, he just said, how can I have a child at this age? He left out the part about their husband, you know, to keep shalom, even though it wasn't the full truth. Or later on in the Chumash, we find that Yosef's brothers made up a whole story about how Yaakov had told them before his death that he should forgive them, and so on. And also, so we find the Gemara discussed, Yavamas, and other discussions in other places about sometimes you have to mishanim shalom, you have to bend the truth for the sake of shalom. So as much as we spoke about the importance of emes yesterday, in chosom shal kodesh baruch hu emes and moshe emes, those emes, those have to bear in mind shalom. And again, the question is, what happens in those two word conflicts? So that's a whole shear by itself. But we have to bear in mind that shalom is also a value, and sometimes it's better not to say anything. And Chazal tells us, like, it's important to say something which is going to be adhered to and listened to. It's also important to say certain things, to know certain times not to say something, because you have to keep shalom. And again, to relate it to the previous discussion, if we know that a person is pursuing emes, meaning that a person really is doing it l'shem shamayim, then it's going to be shalom. In other words, you're going to have shalom because the person is not doing it for his own self and aggrandizement, for his own ego, okay? For the person is always looking to attain the truth for the sake of emes, so then the other person will realize it, therefore he won't be angry. If you find that the other person is presenting his views simply as a means of, you know, bettering himself and showing how smart he is and so on and so forth, that leads to a dispute. Okay, and that leads to bad feelings. We mentioned in the past, the Gemara Kiddushin speaks about people arguing, even a father and a son argue, but as Vahiv Besufa, right, at the end there's Ava, because the understanding is if the person is going if the person is going for the truth, then there's shalom. Also, we have to know that sometimes it's a good idea to compromise. Sometimes you can give in, on a position. Again, you have to figure out how it plays with emes, but sometimes you can look at things from different perspective and come to a different conclusion. And that, you know, you can give, you can bend sometimes for the sake of somebody else when compromise is appropriate. We know, even in Dine Torah, sometimes Pshara, right? We don't know exactly what the emes is and which side is right, and so we can encourage the two parties to come to Shalom. So we find that Shalom is a value in learning and a value in Torah as well. Also, it's important sometimes when you're having a dispute with somebody, you know, sometimes people have an argument, so they're arguing about something very passionately and very, very fiery way, and then the dispute breaks down into something personal, right? You get these ad hominem attacks, right? You have people arguing back and forth, whether it's about politics or it's something else, and it starts out to be an argument which is a good argument, it's l'shem shamayim and so on, but sometimes it quickly, it descends into personal attacks and bringing up other things which are not relevant to the discussion and so on. So that's the idea. And we know as much as we said Moshe Emes with Sarasa Emes, but at the same time, we say about the Torah, V'chol Nesivo Seh Shalom, right? The Torah is supposed to bring Shalom. Tamini Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. And again, it doesn't mean there's no machlokas. We know there's plenty of machlokas, right? Every page of the Gemara is filled with machlokas. Every page in Shulchan Aruch is filled with machlokas. But ultimately, that's because they're pursuing it for the sake of knowing what the truth is, and that's not going to lead to conflict. Okay, you want people, as we've discussed in other presentations here, you want people to challenge, you want to sharpen your own thought, because people will raise questions and bring up issues and so on. That will make your presentation ultimately and your belief ultimately more strong if you have to defend yourself. There's nothing so much as nothing like somebody questioning to make your opinion stronger because you've thought it through. So Ruchon Lesiva says Shalom, and again, Emes and Shalom are not really in conflict. The pasuk says Emes Shalom Ahavu, right? You have to love both Emes and Shalom. Again, you can give a whole shiur, but what happens when there's a conflict between the two? And Ruchon Lesiva says Shalom means, and that's applied halachically also. Ruchon Lesiva says Shalom sometimes. A person recognizes that. The Torah will not tell us to do something which is painful or which is, which hurts. Chol Hasiva says Shalom, right? We have discussions about what the Arba Minim are, and so things are sharp. We don't want to hold sharp things. Chol Hasiva says Shalom. So Shalom is also a value in Torah as well. The next Kenya number 41, the next Derech, is Misyashev B'Talmudo. This has the way, a way that a person is Misyashev. Misyashev is probably best defined as thinking deliberately, carefully, not rushing to decisions. You have to think about things. Even if the person, that's again, this is not in the first part, the first 24, it's here in the last 24, which teaches us that even if the person has attained a tremendous amount of Torah knowledge, nonetheless, Misyashev B'Talmudo, okay, you have to think things through. Sometimes you'll change your mind. Sometimes circumstances change. Sometimes, right? Don't rush to this. Don't rush to decision. Okay, that's misyashiv libo. You have to have yishuv hadas. You have to be calm. You have don't be in a rush. To answer something or to present a svara and so on. So that's in the broader sense. However, there's another idea I think that's also important here, and that is just in terms of your general approach. Whenever you think about something important, it should be done so with yishuv hadas, with a certain amount of stability, a deliberateness. Okay, we have an expression in English: "Look before you leap." Right, check things through. Don't rush to conclusions. But again, even in terms of your Torah knowledge, okay. And there should be, let's say, kind of a yishuv hadas approach to learning, okay? And that applies when you're learning as well. You have to learn in a comfortable environment. You have to learn in a matter that which you're settled, which you have this yishuv hadas, okay? Where you're not under pressure. You're not thinking about 55 other things. And by the way, it's a good piece of advice in life in general. And a person should recognize, something in any area. This should be yishuv hadas. You should be settled and be calm. You should not approach learning, certainly when you're tense and when you're disturbed, when you're distracted by lots of other things. There has to be a certain type of yishuv hadas. But it also implies looking beyond the learning to understand all the ramifications of the issue. Okay, people have to paskin on big shilas and so on and so forth, even on smaller shilas, have to carefully consider all the ramifications, the broader ramifications. And sometimes you have to look beyond the obvious. Sometimes an answer may seem obvious, it may seem clear, but you have to look into the bigger picture. Sometimes you have to read between the lines. I've told this story before. I heard it said about the Brisker Rav. I don't know, exactly whether it was a Brisker Rav or was somebody else or who exactly said it. But there's a story that I think I may have told it over in Shir once. Even a certain person once came to the Brisker Rav and suggested or asked if it's permissible to use milk for the Arba Kosos on Pesach. That was the question. Can you use milk for the Arba Kosos on Pesach? And I'm just going to close the door. I apologize. So the person asked if you can use milk for the Arba Kosos. And obviously you cannot use milk. It has to be wine or something similar to wine, perhaps grape juice. Even that's a discussion, not for right now. But the milk does not qualify for the Arba Kosos. And so the Rav, whoever was asked, the Shaila, gave this woman who had come a lot of money from the charity fund or whatever it is, Kamil Stoka, and said, here you have money to purchase your needs for Pesach. And he actually gave her a lot more than you need to get a bottle or two of wine. And somebody who was there said, you gave her so much money. I mean, I understand from the question she didn't have wine, but, you gave her so much money. So he said, well, if she was asking if you can have milk for the Arba Kosos, then she obviously didn't have money for meat either. She was not planning to serve fleshigs if she asked if you can use milk for the Arba Kosos. Okay, that means seeing beyond. That means beyond the actual question, what's the person looking for? Okay, that's what the Yeshiva does. When you have a deliberate approach, when you think about things, you look at the broader significance. Sometimes if people ask shalas just because they want to interact. Sometimes they're not really, and to give a one-word answer, asa, muta, whatever it is, sometimes they want to talk to you, they want to get some sort of a friendship or some kind of a relationship. So, it's important to look beyond, okay? And that's the idea of having misuna medin, right? When you come to a decision, you have to have yeshiva das. You have to think about things carefully. And we also mentioned in the past, the marba yeshiva, marba chochma, right? And yeshiva doesn't mean just sitting. Yeshiva means sitting. It means, pondering. It means looking at the broader picture, and I think, and make sure you understand everything, understand all sides. So that's that aspect. Then 42, Shoel Umeshev. Shoel Umeshev. Okay, Shoel Umeshev simply means, in simple translation, he asks and answers. Okay, and the idea of that is, on a simple level, all of learning is questions and answers, right? And it's always okay to ask. Shoel means it's always okay to ask. Even questions we don't know the answer to. Sometimes there are no answers, no easy answers. And it's okay to ask. It's okay to challenge. It's okay to pry and to look into what's behind something. Even when looking into things philosophically and so on, there's nothing wrong with any question. Sometimes we have to know that we're not going to get a satisfactory answer, but sometimes the answer is, well, this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed it, this is the way the world goes, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set things up, and so on. We don't have an answer which is necessarily intellectually or emotionally satisfying, but there's nothing wrong with raising the question, okay? We can live with questions. There are a lot of questions that we have. Doesn't mean we don't try to understand, but, if you never ask, it means you don't care, and that's, that just means... kind of just go along with the flow with everything, which nothing bothers you, nothing. That's not a thinking person. A thinking person asks questions. And no question is too stupid or too meaningless, okay? We all know the Gemara with Hillel, when this person came and asked him a series of funny questions, including the most famous one, tell me the whole Torah standing on one foot, etc., where Shammai kind of lost his patience with this guy. Or a couple of stories there, more than one person. Hillel didn't. Hillel maintained his patience. And even, seemingly silly questions or questions which are designed to, to be to be provocative, you have to be careful. Okay. And it's also okay to answer, I don't know. But that's the idea of Shoel. Meshiv, and we had this already, right? Shiva Dvar Mechachma in the previous parak, Shoel Ke'inyan Meshiv Kalocha. Okay, when you do answer, you have to answer that the answer can be, I don't know. All right, but the answer has to address the question and not try and fumfer your way out, deflect the issue. Sometimes the answer can be, I don't know, but you have to answer on target. Okay, it's important to both for questioner and an answerer. It's important to stick to the point, to be on target, to be on point. Okay, sometimes you get distracted, and sometimes in a classroom setting, especially high school, so the students will ask the teacher a question, is dafka off the topic, because that'll get them going, and then we can take a break from taking notes for a while. Okay, but ultimately, when it comes to learning, when it comes to Torah, there should be questions and answers that are on point, that are on target. Okay, not mixing in unrelated subjects. Okay, or tangentially related subjects that distract from the main topic. Sometimes it's difficult. As a person gives shiurim, I know that sometimes people who ask questions is really only a side issue. It's not really, and if you're teaching, sometimes you can't answer those questions because it takes too much background information and too much time. And that's okay. You can tell the person to get back to you later. But the idea is when you ask a question, try and be on target. Try and have it. Don't confuse issues and then go off the topic. All right. And, we have a statement, Chazal say, She'elas chacham chatzi tshuva. Right? When a person asks a good question, that already leads you on the road to the answer. Okay? And as I said before, here it just says Shoel Umeshev in our version of the text. We had in the previous parak that one of the signs of a chacham is Shoel Ke'inyan Umeshev Kalacha. Okay? It's also important when you're asking a question, why are you asking the question? You want to know the answer or you want to hear yourself speak? Okay, many people pointed out the difference when you're teaching men and when you're teaching women. Okay, women, are very, very hesitant most of the time because it's overgeneralization. Nothing can be generalized, but women often will think very, very carefully. They won't raise their hand in a shiur, certainly not in a public setting, to ask a question unless they've thought it through very carefully. They're afraid to, sometimes they're too afraid to ask. Whereas men, at least some men, will just raise a hand, they'll ask a question, it has nothing to do with the subject, even if it does have to do with the subject. They're not looking for an answer, they just want to hear themselves. Okay. And so don't interrupt and just ask for the sake of asking. Okay. Now, so that's the idea of Shoal Kenyan Umeshiv Kalacha, or here Shoal Umeshiv to be on target. Okay. Shoal Umeshiv in the general sense is an exchange of thoughts, an exchange of ideas. Right, you ask, I answer. I ask, you answer. Who most of the homophorically? Sometimes a person will be the same person who asks and answers. Okay, but that can produce tremendous results. You know, there is a sefer that they put out, Chidusha Hagram VaHagrid, things from Moshe Salavitcher and Rabbi Yoshua Salavitcher, the Rav. I remember when I first purchased the sefer, Chidusha Hagram VaHagrid, I thought there was going to be some things, articles, or some Divrei Torah in there from Moshe Soloveitchik, and some Divrei Torah there from Rav Yosher Meir Soloveitchik, from the Rav. But read the introduction. So it says, actually, these were notes that they kept but when they learned together, but it wasn't clear who said what. They didn't write down who asked the kasha, who gave the teretz. So it's called Chidush HaGram VaHagrid, together. Okay, this is what the fruits of their labor together. So it doesn't, we don't know who asked the question, who gave an answer, who answered this one, asked the other question, and so on. So the final product is the product of their discussion. Okay, and that's really what the learning is about. It's about asking, it's about answering. We know that every line of the Gemara, everything in the Gemara, right? You have the question of, you know, Maskeflo and so on, and then, Rav Tomar and Rav Shlomar. It should be on target, should be on point. And if it is, so the result will be a greater understanding on that everybody can benefit from. So that's Shoal Umeshiv, or Shoal Kenyan Umeshiv Kalacha, to ask the right kind of questions and to give the right kind of answer. Again, just to conclude, getting back to Umeshiv, it means to respond. I think it means to respond, sometimes the response can be, as I said before, I don't know. But don't respond by confusing the issue or confusing the questioner. Sometimes a person asks a question, the answer, the other person doesn't really know the answer, so he'll give some type of a teretz and so on, and weasel his way out of it. That's not what it means. It may should you have to be on target. I'll conclude with a story that they said about Reb Chaim Soloveitchik when there was a dispute as to who should be giving what shiur in the Lozhin Yeshiva and so on. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik had to present a shiur in front of three great senior Talmid Chachamim at that time, who came basically to judge that he's right to give a shiur and so on. It's an unusual story, but that's what happened. I forgot who the three were. Maybe Ritzel Ponovich. I don't remember now who was there. Perhaps Ritzel Chonon. I don't remember now who the three judges, so to speak, were. But that was the proba for Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. So he gave a whole pshat in a Rambam, and he suddenly realized in the middle that the Rambam elsewhere says something against it. He didn't realize when he prepared the talk, and in the middle he realized it's not going to work because the Rambam elsewhere doesn't agree with this. So based on some Perish HaMishnayah, someplace in Kodshim, or Taras, or something like that, didn't agree with it. So he said, I have to withdraw what I'm saying. I realize it's not correct. It's not like the Rambam can't be saying what I'm suggesting. And the story is that because of that, he got the job. What do you mean? Because presumably, first of all, it's not so pasha that people who are listening would necessarily realize it's against the Rambam in some unusual place. So he could have gotten away with it. Could have fumped it through, gotten away with it, and keep talking, and gotten away with it. Number two, even if they would have noticed it and so on, probably with his creativity, could have concocted some kind of a teretz to figure out an answer, cloud the issue, throw out a lot of other stuff, and obfuscated the question. That's not what he did. Okay? And it relates to all these midas, the mid of MS and so on and so forth. But here, Shoal Umeshiv, when you answer a question, it should be ke'inyan, it should be on the target, on the spot. Ke'alocha, it should be the right way. And not just to answer to just get the person off your back. Okay, Shoal Kenyan Umeshiv Kalacha, or Shoal Umeshiv over here, ask the right kind of questions, give the right kind of answers. Have a good day.